chapter 1. There in this fourth verse of that first chapter, he said, "And these things write we unto you for a reason." Remember, I told you the other evening, if you just sat down to write a letter without purpose or reason, and the blank page was before you, when you wound up, it would be a poor letter. Generally, when you write, you have reason. You're writing to thank somebody for something they've done for you, or you're writing to find out how they are or something. You have good reason. "These things write we unto you." Why? "That your joy may be full." God, in His great salvation, saves us. Saves our soul, saves our life, that we might enjoy Him, might enjoy the God of our salvation. We can't enjoy Him if there's not any intimacy with Him and us. This is eternal life, that we might know Him. To know Him is eternal life, and to enjoy God, to enjoy God and His Word and His promises. All of His promises to us are yea and amen. "These things I write unto you that your joy may be full." Not half full, full, like a full glass of water. Can't get no more in it. Full and running over. "This then is the message which we have heard of Him." That Him, who do you reckon He's talking about? "This is the message that we've heard of Him." Well, it's His Son, Jesus Christ. "This then is the message that we've heard of Him. We declare this unto you, that God is light." God is light. "And in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness," that is, not walking in the light, "well, we lie and do not the truth." It's a terrible thing to pretend to be a believer when a man's not a believer. He pretends to be. He pretends that God is his Redeemer and his Savior when he knows in his heart he's not. He's walking in darkness, not walking in the light. He won't even be honest with himself. We walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, He's the light, we walk in that light, we see light and have light. He is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that something? The blood. The Word of God is full of blood. Start to finish. Full of blood. The religion of the Lord Jesus is exemplified by blood. Blood. The Scriptures, the Word of God, is as full of references to the blood as the body of a man is full of life and blood. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Let me ask this question here this evening, try to answer it. Blood, that's what we're talking about. What does it mean in the Scriptures? What does it mean, blood? When on page after page after page of the Holy Scriptures, it mentions blood. What does it mean? Well, you say it means suffering. Well, that's partly right. But it does not just merely mean suffering. It means suffering unto death. A lot of people suffer, but not unto death. Bob has suffered here recently, had problems, he and Margaret, and they suffered, but not unto death, because they're still living. They're still here. Fred, he had his eyes operated on, they hurt, swollen. He suffered, but not unto death. Blood in the Bible means suffering unto death. It means the taking of a life. It means laying a life down. Suffering unto death. You see, a sin against God deserves death as its punishment. I'm not just saying now if a man murders somebody, he deserves punishment. He deserves capital punishment. No, that's true. But it's not just murder. A sin against God in word, thought, or deed. A sin. Undetected, unnoticed by your wife, by your father and your mother, your friends. A sin in word and thought and deed. A sin. Little sin. No such thing as a little sin. It's all sin. A sin against God deserves for its punishment death. Death. That's what it deserves. You mean just one sin? One. Little sin. You want to describe it that way? Deserves for its punishment. Every. You see, over in the book of Ezekiel, it was true then, it's true now. He said, Ezekiel, that soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Doesn't say that soul that murders somebody, that soul that blasphemes, that soul that commits the unpardonable sin. That soul that does, a soul that sinner. One sin. And you're doomed. I said the other night, if you're going to work your way to heaven, you better start working before you sin, because one sin ties up the whole matter. One sin against God. Sin against God deserves death at its punishment. Soul that sinneth, it shall die. Not maybe, but shall. Now, the only way, listen closely to me, the only way by which God could fulfill His threatening sentence, which is, that soul that sinneth, it shall die. The only way that He can make good on this, and yet, at the same time, forgive a guilty sinner, was that Jesus Christ, God's only Son, God in the flesh, come into this world and give His life instead of yours. That's the only way. His life, because of its dignity, because the dignity of His person, because of the majesty of who He is, the God-man, which is so vast, so great in its value. The person, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, His worth, His value is so great that He could give His life not only for one man, but He could give His life for a multitude of men who should believe upon His name because of the dignity and value of Himself being God in the flesh. Now that by which men are saved is the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ unto death. That's how we're saved. By His sufferings unto death. Not just by His sufferings, but His sufferings unto death. I read to you where Peter said, Christ has also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. And the Apostle Paul said, He hath made Him to be sin for us. He was made sin for us who knew no sin. He knew no sin. But He was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now all the sacrifices under the law that's related to us, particularly in the book of Leviticus, all through the Old Testament, the sacrifices of the bullock and the lamb and the red heifer and the turtle dove, all these sacrifices under the law, when their blood was poured out, they first must bring the sacrifice, bring the bullock, and then cut the bullock's throat and catch the blood. And then the blood was poured out before the door of the Lord. Before the door of the tabernacle, the tabernacle. The tabernacle door, the tabernacle housed was the housing place typically of the God of Israel. And that blood of the bullock, or the lamb, or the sheep, whatever it was, the goat, that lamb, that bullock's blood was to be poured out before the door where the Lord dwelt, that the Lord might see the blood. Now, it was poured out, and the pouring out of this blood of these animal sacrifices were typical of the life given by the Lord for men and women and boys and girls as a sacrifice in the room, in the place, and in the stead for those who offended unto death against the law of God and therefore were doomed to die. That's what those sacrifices pictured. Pouring out of that blood. As our Lord Jesus Christ poured out His blood. The way by which, let me say first, said emphatically and said it, I've said it and said it and said it and said it. Say it one more time, there is no way of salvation under heaven but by faith in the substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus Christ. No other way. Shut up to this way. This is God's way and there's no other way. The only way that God recognizes. substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the way by which we are redeemed from the eternal wrath of God is by Christ, God's anointed Christ, having stood for us as a substitute, as a bullock, as a lamb, and died in our place. That's the message. That's the message to the ears of the concerned sinner in regard to his soul. That's the message. Believe on Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God has sent to stand in the sinner's place, to endure the wrath of God against the sinner who's doomed because he's offended God by his sin. The Bible says the chastisement. Isaiah said it, didn't he? He said the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. That which we deserved was on Him. And with His stripes we're healed. The blood. The Lord Jesus Christ was scourged unto bleeding. That is, they disrobed Him. Made Him bear His back to the smiters. And they smote Him. They smote Him with the rod. Under bleeding. That the blood poured down His back. Down His legs and onto His feet and into the dust. That precious, precious, soul-cleansing blood. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered. Not just suffered now. He suffered unto death. Scourged unto bleeding. His temples were pierced and lacerated with a crown of thorns. His hands and His feet was nailed to the wood with iron nails. And the blood flowed from these wounds. The Roman soldier come along and took the spear and pierced his side, and out flowed blood and water. Many ways by which men may die without the shedding of the blood. You've known lots of people that have died without the shedding of the blood. Many ways to die. You can die in this land of the free, in the home of the brave, under capital punishment, and die without the shedding of the blood. You can be gassed, poisonous gas, can be let loose in an enclosure where there's no air. You're made to breathe it, and a little bit you're dead. Or you can be strapped to a chair, and they can turn on the electricity, and they can send enough electricity through you in just a second. The next second you're off into eternity. You can die by the way of capital punishment without the shedding of the blood. But our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, was ordained by God to die by the shedding of blood. That's God's plan. That's God's way, not mine. His way. Ordained. God appointed Him, anointed Him, called Him the Anointed One, commissioned Him to come, ordained Him to come to die by death, in which the shedding of the blood was very conspicuous. On the head, in the temples, in the hands and the feet, on the back and the side, the blood was conspicuous. Wonder why? I'll tell you why. So to link, connect the Lord Jesus Christ forever with the sacrifices of the Old Testament that typically and symbolically showed and pointed to the doing and the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. No value in the blood of those animals. If they caught 10 billion barrels of blood, there was not a single solitary virtue by way that blood could accomplish satisfaction unto God and stay in His hand as to eternal wrath. It's only by the blood of the God-man that He's ordained to die this way. The sacrifices of the Old Testament, typical, symbolically, taking the blood of that little lamb and two little birds. You kill one bird and put His blood in the basin mixed with hyssop. Put the blood of the dead bird in the basin mixed with hyssop. And take the live bird and sprinkle the blood of the dead bird on the live bird. And then take the live bird to an open field and let him fly away. That's the picture of standing in our stead and him going to heaven with the blood to sprinkle upon the mercy seat. Substitution, any way you look at it. Substitution. Ah, listen. Here's another thing. Over there in the book of Leviticus, chapter 4, I believe it is, it says, "And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord." Some of the blood upon the horns, three horns, of the altar, sweet incense, before the Lord. Before the Lord. That's the main point. Before the Lord. Now, the bringing of the bullocks, I've already said, the killing of the sacrifice, the sprinkling of the blood, was all to be done before the Lord. Before the Lord. Now, you remember I've preached on this lots of times. Here and there and other places. Expect to preach on it again. You remember the type of the Paschal lamb? Passover lamb, you remember that? Now, God gave special instructions as to where that blood was to be applied. God said unto Moses and Aaron, He said, take the blood. Told Moses and Aaron, take that blood and put it on the two side posts that holds up the door, frame of the door. Take the blood, put it on this side post, and the overhead post. Put the blood up there and tell the people to go inside the house. He gave them special instructions as to where that blood was to be applied. Now listen. Was it to be applied inside the house? Now you remember all the people on the night of the Passover was inside. There wasn't a single solitary soul of them Israelites as a nation outside that night. They was all inside. Every one of them. Nobody outside. Now, where was the blood to be put? Were they to put that blood on the interior walls inside? Where every once in a while they could look at it and it would tend to bring a little comfort and consolation to them. No. No. It was not the Lord's purpose for them to be inside and the blood on the interior wall and for them to look at the blood. It was not God's plan nor purpose for the blood to be inside. The blood was to be on the outside. The people was on the inside. And they couldn't see it. It was sprinkled outside the house. Now, I've already said that the Lord God Himself said to Moses and Aaron, take the blood, strike it on the two side posts upon the upper door post, the houses, and put it outside there where God could see it. Now, it was put where the people could not see it. As if to show that this blood being on the outside was the main point. It was where God could see it, whether anyone else saw it at all. It's God that's got to be reconciled. God must see the blood. He must see the blood. It must be before the Lord. That it might be made known to these people that it is, after all, God's sight of the great sacrifice which saves the sinner. When I see the blood. When I see it. I got to see it. When I see it, I'll pass over you. That blood was on the outside, theirs on the inside, and they couldn't see it. The death angel came over, saw the blood. I'll pass over that house. Every other house, the firstborn in the land of Egypt, that night was killed. The death angel came over and killed them. No blood on their houses. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. The place of the blood is where the Lord sees it in reference to us before Him. Now, some say that the atonement in some way changes the nature of God. No, 1,000 times no. God is immutable. God cannot change. There's not a possibility that God can change. He's immutable, not capable of changing. I am the Lord, I change not. They say, well, it changes His nature. No, God's immutable and cannot change. Well, as some people tell us, that the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ was offered to make God love us. That ain't true either. That ain't true either. No! His sacrifice, His sending of the Lord Jesus Christ to do what He did is the result of God's love for us before time ever was. My God, He loves us with an everlasting love. He loved us before the world ever was. There's no turning from His love. God did not send Him to die in our stead in order that it would make Him love us. Sent Him because that was the result of Him loving us. He always loved us. He always loved His people. Loved them in Christ and sent Christ to redeem them. And when they heard the message, their ears pricked up. And they said, oh, that suits my need as a sinner. I'm poor and helpless and hopeless and can't save myself. Oh, they heard the good news. Christ, the just one, died for the unjust that He might bring him to God. That's what the blood means. It means suffering unto death. It means punishment. He was punished. Christ was punished in our stead. God spared not His own Son. But all the eternal wrath of God against sin, our sin, which was on him. The wrath went where sin is and fell on him. And finally, justice cried. Justice cried, it's enough. Satisfaction has been made. No more suffering. No more suffering. It's enough. Justice is satisfied. Took the lifeless body of our Lord Jesus off of the tree. Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, took his blessed body. Whatever they done in preparation for his burial, that was done. Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus came along and helped out. Joseph gave him his tomb to be buried in. Made the world, known the world, but didn't have a spot, didn't have a place to be buried. He's buried in a rich man's tomb. Put a rock upon it. Two guards, one on each side, guard the tomb, lest these disciples come and steal the body away. My God, the end of 3 days, 3 nights. Because he lives, ye shall live also. My hope is built in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. All right. God help us. Let's stand.